Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. He dwelt among men, my example is he. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins.
Well, I had an interesting week. I stopped by a farmer's market recently, and there was a guy there selling apples, and oddly enough, he was selling apple seeds. And I said, what's the deal with the apple seeds? And he said, well, if you eat them, they make you smarter. That's right. Okay, this guy is a real scam artist. So he said, no, I'm serious. They'll make you smarter. I said, all right, I'll try. So I'm preaching on Sunday, and I need all the help I can get. So I said, okay, I'll take 5. And he said, that'll be $10. So I was desperate, you know. So I give him a $10 and popped them in my mouth, and immediately I was like, hey dude, for that kind of money I could have bought like 10 apples and I had 20 or 30 seeds. He said, it's working already. So I said, give me 5 more. Well, the message today isn't necessarily about apple seeds, but it is about the mustard seed. And the parable of the mustard seed is found in Matthew 13. It's also found in Luke 13 and Mark 4. That's part of the synoptic gospels. It's believed that Mark was the gospel that was written first, and Luke had Mark's gospel with him when he wrote it, and Matthew had that gospel with him when he wrote it. That's why they're very similar in the way they're written. Some expand more, some leave out parts, but they are very similar in their construction. And I believe there are 7 parables in Matthew 13, and Jesus explains a parable to the disciples, and we heard that described to us by some of our other speakers in previous weeks. But it seems like Jesus is trying to explain what the kingdom of heaven like as quickly and as for many examples as he possibly can. The Jewish people had a preconceived idea of what the Messiah should be and what his kingdom should be, and it was an inaccurate one. It was like a mental block. And it's some of those things we can't get past, and we see that sometimes in riddles. I heard one just recently. See if you can get this one. Stacy's mom. Okay, if you know it, keep quiet, all right? Stacy's mom had 4 daughters, and they were August, April, and June. So what is the name of the 4th daughter? I hear the Stacy out there. Yeah, I saw America's Funniest Videos. This one person just could not get past that. We wanted to say October or November. It's an example of that mental block that sometimes we have when we look at things. And that doesn't seem like the disciples get this until after he's crucified and rose from the dead. Now, I've said before that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are interchangeable, and we see them used throughout the Gospels in the same way. They mean the same thing. And one person suggested that Matthew, being a Jew, would not write the kingdom of God, because as a Jew, you would not want to say or write God's name. God's name is holy, so you do not utter his name. So it may be why, and especially in the Gospel of Matthew, that he refers to the kingdom of heaven rather than the kingdom of God. So again, the scripture this morning is, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. I told them another parable, or he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. The mustard seems to be commonly used as something to compare of small, and we see this in another a parable or thing that Jesus says is that your faith is small as a mustard seed. It's kind of like an expression, wise as an owl, or as big as an oak tree planted by the river that will not be moved. It's an expression, it seems, that was a common one. I have to say that when I did some research on this mustard tree, I was a little disappointed. My perception about the mustard tree was that it's this huge, gargantuous tree. It's not. It was interesting that I went, and every picture that showed, when I Googled this, every picture that it showed of a tree, a mustard tree, it was this huge, you know, big diameter tree, 50 feet high and 50, 60 feet in diameter, canopy. And that's just not the case. And I searched Google high and low to find, you know, a mustard tree. And there's not a mustard tree. It's a garden plant. And most scholars agree, and Wikipedia, that it is the black mustard plant. And I believe it is in Mark said this is a garden plant. And it's an annual. It grows, which means it's only grows in one season. It's not like a tree that grows for 30, 40 years. It grows and dies within 1 year. It is a spice, and it grows in around the area of the Middle East and Northern Africa and in Europe. And if you would have a pen or pencil this morning, and you were to try to visualize a mustard seed. That's a mustard seed right there. Might be a little bigger. It's a one millimeter in diameter, or one that'd be 39/1000ths of an inch. So that's the size of what a mustard seed is. It is it is flavorful, although it has no aroma. The seeds are commonly used in Indian cuisine, such as curry. And it does it is used in making some oils. So it is a garden herb. It is a plant. It is not really a tree. But it does grow. It can grow as high as 15 feet, but mostly it grows 8 feet, which is pretty impressive. 8 feet would be about as tall as from me to the floor down here. And so 15 is another 7-8 feet above me yet. So that is impressive that in one growing year that a plant can that's that small in its beginnings can get that big. But again, I was looking for a tree. The significance of this parable is not how big the mustard plant actually is in and of itself. The significance is how tiny its beginnings are. As a seed compared to the size, it becomes a garden plant in just one growing season. In Mark and Luke, Jesus asks in this same parable, "With what shall we compare the kingdom of heaven to?" We are to compare it to a mustard seed. I found that in my preparation and study that this parable, most scholars and ministers interpret this parable to be about the Christian church. It started out small and grew to the size it is today. It started by just the person of Jesus and 12 disciples, along with Apostle Paul, and it has become a very large in number and influence. As I was looking, I was wanting to know, well, how big is the Christian church today? And one study I found that it is said that there are 2.3 billion people are Christians of the 7.3 billion people in the world. So that's 31% of the world's population are claiming to be Christians. Now, in Matthew 7, Jesus says not all who claim Christ are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, many will claim Christ that he does not know. Now, I don't know what the percentage of many might be, but I think it's safe to say that 2.3 billion Christians may not be entirely accurate as far as Christ is concerned. That said, it cannot be denied that the Christian church has grown to be a major influence in the world as we know it today. Christ followers have experienced hatred and persecution from its very beginning till even now, and yet it still grows. Now, here's where I have a little trouble with this interpretation. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I think this interpretation can take us a place where it's not meant to go. And by this I mean it's implied that the church is no longer a mustard seed, and this interpretation implies that we are living as a church in an age where we are enjoying the fully grown plant stage of this parable. We, the church, are now strong in the world, in numbers and influence, and we can no longer be considered small or weak or meek or humble or the world's punching bag. The United States of America can largely attribute its formation from Christian values and influence. Most would even consider this a Christian nation and the most powerful nation in the world. I would begin to question the position of whether this is a Christian nation just based on one issue, which is abortion. And I'm not sure how anyone could dare say God bless America after we've killed over 60 million of our own babies since legalizing abortion. But that's another issue. My point is, if we are no longer viewing ourselves as a mustard seed, we are not understanding what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He did not say, this is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. The kingdom of heaven is always described in small ways. We are the least, the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted. We're foolish and humble. We're servants. We love our enemies. We are weak. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And Jesus says, let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall never enter it. And Paul again says in 2 Corinthians, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And again, Jesus says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, I know it doesn't seem like it, but this is meant to be an encouragement. No matter how small and insignificant you think you are, you have within you the DNA of the Holy Spirit that has the potential to grow into something big and truly impact the kingdom of heaven. How many of us feel like we are so small and insignificant? In a room full of people, do we feel invisible? Just like a mustard seed that fell in the dirt, so small you couldn't even find it again. And even as we look around this room here, we might seem small by most standards. However, this is how the kingdom works. God used many, many unlikely, unspectacular people over and over again in Scripture. David was just a shepherd boy, the youngest in his family, but he was God after God's own heart. Gideon, he said he was the smallest and least in his clan. Abraham was just a face in a crowd. The disciples were just uneducated fishermen. Saul/Paul persecuted the church. Moses said he couldn't speak very well. Mary and Joseph were just simple people. Esther was a refugee, an orphan, made queen. And she ended up saving the Jews from annihilation. Jacob was a liar and a cheat. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. A boy with some loaves and fishes fed 5,000. And John the Baptist was just a weirdo who ate bugs in the desert. This is the nature of the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus continues to explain that this mustard plant becomes big and strong enough to support birds perching in it. The text says building nests, but I found a better interpretation is that they're perched or dwelling. Now, you could say dwelling means that they build a nest, but perched is probably a better translation of that. Now, some suggest that the birds are making nests, that they're making nests or abiding in this mustard plant, or evil, or Satan's influence in the church. And that's understandable, since the birds in the previous parables are kind of evil. They are they're plucking seeds away. And I was thinking about, do any of you remember when turkeys were introduced to this area? I know several farmers were upset because turkeys were just something else that would damage their crops. if you were to plant your field and the turkeys were around, they would go right down the row and pick the seed right out of the ground. So in that case, I can see where you might think, you know, birds or turkeys are evil or representative of Satan. But I disagree. There is nothing here in this particular parable that is evil about the birds. It's just another way for Jesus to say that this tree became big enough to support birds. And another note: when the mustard plant gets big and older, the stalks become more wood-like and stiff. That's why the example of the birds is given. It's not like a bird is landing on an oregano plant and can support a flimsy stalk like that. The mustard seed does become wood-like and more like a tree as it gets older. But then Jesus tells another parable that is connected with the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, or yeast, that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. I must say, I studied this passage and was surprised how many people and how many sources thought that leaven or yeast in this parable represented evil. Leaven or sin or even demonic activity comes into the church represented in the dough. So on one hand, this interpretation is understandable because yeast represents sin in practically every other scripture where it is mentioned. We see Jesus saying to the people, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees in Matthew 16. Boasting is not good. Do you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you might be a new lump as you really are unleavened. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sufficient for sacrifice. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And again, Paul says in Galatians 5, you are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persecution is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And as we see the Jews, when they celebrated Passover, they were not to have leaven within their houses during this time. In fact, it says in Exodus, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So leaven or yeast did represent sin. However, if we look at this particular passage, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And it also says in Luke, To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven. The kingdom of heaven is not like evil, nor could it be compared with evil by any stretch of the imagination. Why would Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is like evil, or it is like sin? That doesn't make any sense. So I am with those that this is a parable, and the only time in Scripture that leaven is looked at is a positive thing. What's important, or what symbolized the importance about leaven, is its propagation, its ability to infiltrate and move throughout the dough. Once it is introduced to the dough, there is no removing it. Sin does indeed have those attributes when it is allowed to be tolerated and blessed within the church, which is what Jesus and the Apostle Paul warned us about. However, it can also illustrate the propagation of the kingdom of heaven. The early church spread throughout the world despite the small beginnings, opposition, and violent persecution it experienced. Once the kingdom of God was introduced, it could not be removed. So even though every other reference in leaven is negative, I am under the belief that this is a positive reference of leaven. The woman wants to make bread, and apparently a lot of it. As Susie read, her translation said 60 pounds of flour. And mine says 38 liters, or about 8.5 gallons. So I don't know how you want to look at that, but that's a lot of dough. Something to further strengthen my position is that it should be noted that bread is always represented in Scripture as good. Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life, and her introducing yeast to the dough is done intentionally to make bread. I especially like the Beef House rolls. I like bread. And Lambert's. Has everyone been to Lambert's in Missouri? They throw the rolls at you. I need to go back there again. That's good. And I love when Jane makes homemade bread. I love breadsticks with cheddar cheese and soft pretzels. Yeah, don't forget those. I need to move on. I'm starting to get hungry. The parable describes what happens when a woman adds leaven, which is yeast, to a large quantity of flour. The living organisms in the leaven grow overnight so that by morning the entire quantity of dough has been affected. Now, interestingly enough, the account of Abraham being visited by the Lord found in Genesis 18, Abraham instructs Sarah to prepare 3 measures of flour, so it's the same amount. So even though this seems like a lot of bread, it's perhaps not unusual to make that much dough when entertaining guests or in the case of a large family units. Just for those of you who don't know what yeast and leaven is, if you don't add leaven or yeast to dough, it's a cracker. And so I don't particularly like crackers. I like light, fluffy bread. It's good. How many people are familiar with Amish friendship bread? Okay. I have a little Amish starter this morning that Jane mixed up for me. We have on our kitchen counter a pitcher that has Amish friendship starter in it. I asked Jane how long she's had that, and she said, I can't remember not having it. She finally figured out that it's been on our counter for 10 years. And just doing its thing. And I was kind of curious this morning, how many of you have had friendship bread from Jane's friendship bread? Yeah, quite a few hands. Some of you probably don't even know it because it was at a fellowship meal. You probably had it and didn't even know. But it's kind of see if a lot of you were infected by it. And so this, what's called here, is an active starter. I kind of feel like it's some biological warfare kind of thing. The only thing separating you from this active ingredient is this thin plastic bag. If I were to drop it, there'd be bread everywhere or something. So, what shall I say the kingdom of heaven is like? It is like bread, friendship bread, active starter. It is big. Is it big and powerful? Does it bring wealth, prestige? Does it make anyone famous? It does none of those things. It's still relatively small. It's perpetually growing in a pitcher on our kitchen counter, but yet it has fed a rather large number of people over the years. Now, what I'd like to suggest to you is that the kingdom of heaven is perpetually small in a big way. And what do I mean by that? In these parables, the significance of the kingdom of heaven is what happened between the mustard seed being planted to when it was big enough that a bird could perch in its branches. It did not become a mighty oak tree or a huge redwood. It's still a garden plant. The kingdom of heaven is like the activity leaven does, or yeast, when it is introduced to a batch of dough. It is the active part in friendship bread starter. Like the mustard seed, leaven is also small. Nothing about it is intimidating. It does its thing quietly without fanfare in a pitcher somewhere on our kitchen counter, away from the public eye. And it is not instantaneous. It takes a little time for the yeast to work throughout the whole batch of dough. The world's influence tells us that there is strength in numbers, power, wealth, and position are what the world seeks and desires. I think sometimes that influence creeps into the church. Christians need to unite and become a political force. We need to fight back. We need to stand up, march for Jesus, sign petitions. It's us against them. We cannot allow evil to win. Leaven, we must fight. March, mustard seed, march. Make noise, you must be heard. However, that's not the nature of the mustard seed or the leaven. That is not how Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is different. It is small, it is unassuming, and it changes the world in a very different way. Jesus and the apostles are examples of that active starter. I look forward today to the day when every bench in here is full of smiling faces. So don't think what I'm trying to say is that we need to remain small in that way. What I'm saying is that the kingdom of God works in relationships in small ways. We grow, but it will be from a small, active ingredient. Are you content to be small and weakness in the eyes of the world? Does our idea of greatness, strength, and power fit Jesus' description of the kingdom of heaven? Let's be the active starter and make lots of bread. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for the kingdom of heaven, which you say is within us. Let's just take that and own that and embrace that. As we go from this place, may we be like the mustard seed, like the leaven, something so small and insignificant that can make such a big difference in our communities and in our families and our friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.